Here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, we will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout today of victory. Amen. Open your Bible with me today to the New Testament, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation 1, we're in a series on why. It's entitled Why, because we're talking about why Church on the Rock exists. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't have a vision. I definitely wouldn't serve there, raise my family there, or give there to a church that had no direction, that had no vision, that had no mission. So we're talking about this whole month, 34 years ago, we're celebrating our anniversary the whole month, to God be the glory, and we're looking at why we exist. Why did you get up on a holiday weekend and come and bring your family? Why did you give in the offering? Why did you worship God? Why did you bring your family here? Why do we call it our church home? Why does Church on the Rock exist? Well, number one, we found out the first weekend, we exist to help people know God. Every time we come here, I want you to get a little closer to God. So we help people know God. We looked at that the first weekend of the month. Last weekend, number two, why we exist is that we want to help people find freedom. Help people find freedom. Now, we as Christians, we know we're not perfect, right? We're in process. We're not what we used to be. We're not what we want to be, but we're on our way. And at Church on the Rock, it's okay not to be okay. At Church on the Rock, our eyes are not on each other. Our eyes are on the Lord, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our race, so let's run our race. So we understand that at Church on the Rock, that all of us, even though we're Christians, we're not perfect and we're not totally free. Now, Jesus purchased our freedom, but then you and I, in process, it's a journey, it's a lifestyle, we learn to walk out freedom in areas of our life. Can I have a yes in the house? Am I connecting with you today? So that was the last weekend. Now, this weekend, why do we exist? Here it is to help people discover God's purpose for their life. Help people discover God's purpose for their life. We live in a world right now without hope, people without purpose, people that are drifting, people that are angry, people that are enraged, people that feel like they have no future, people who feel like giving up. You know, they tell us statistically, now they look at the statistics of death, and they say more people die on Monday than any other day of the week. Did you know that? You can check that out. More people die. There are more deaths on Monday, first day of the week, than any other day. And then if you even go a little bit farther in your research, you'll find out more people die on Monday between 8 and 9 o'clock than any other time of the week. Why would that be? Because people face a week with no purpose. They face a week with no purpose. They face a week, you know, without purpose, you have no drive to get up in the morning. Without purpose, you have no reason for fighting the good fight of faith. Without purpose, you have no reason, you have no drive, you have no motivation. So as we set out today, for me to help you, see, my purpose is to help you discover your God-given purpose. And I thrive on that. That's what gives me drive to get out of bed, come here, and I'm just as excited today than I was 34 years ago. We have a beautiful family right down here. You know, Kumar and his beautiful daughter, Sophia, they were part of the original 35 people when we started Church on the Rock. And I'm just excited, Kumar and Sophia, I'm just as excited today as I was that very first day in 34 years ago. Why? I know my purpose. I know the purpose of Church on the Rock, of our ministry. It's to help people discover God's purpose for their life. Now, let me help you real quick. You discover God's purpose. Let me give you a note taker. Number one is you look at your desires. You look at your desires. You discover God's purpose for your life when you look at your desires, because your desires are connected to your destiny. Your desires are connected to your destiny. Your desires are connected to your passion. And your passion and your purpose are part of your desires. They're the fuel. Your purpose and passion is the fuel that takes you, like gas in a car, it takes you to your destiny. You know, this week I was talking to a musician. In fact, it was David Huff who sang here this morning. And you can pick up, you can order your pre-release CD, DVD out in the lobby as you leave. But I asked him, I said, you know, when did you know you were to be a musician? He said, Pastor, when I was 3 years old. I said, 3 years old? He said, yeah, when I was 3 years old, I saw my father play a guitar. And I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. He said, then when I was 11 years old, I got my first guitar and away I went. The rest is history. So if you'd like to know God's purpose, I'm just giving you some real simple ways, practical ways, right? You look at your desires. We have a lawyer. We have many lawyers in our church, and God is for lawyers. That's kind of weak. Now, come on, y'all. God is for lawyers. And you know, what? One of the lawyers in our church, they're all successful, but one of them actually, by St. Louis, was named the most successful black lawyer in St. Louis. The most successful black lawyer in St. Louis. And he and his family, they're members of our church. We love them dearly. And he just received some more awards. We're so proud of him this week. But I asked him one time, we were out for lunch, and I said, when did you decide you were to be a lawyer? When did you discover you were to be a lawyer? When did you tend to go that direction? And he said, you know, Pastor, I watched Perry Mason when I was growing up. Now, you may laugh at this, but I'm gonna establish all this in our teaching today. I'm going to show you it's all scriptural. He said, when I was growing up, I watched Perry Mason, and I said, you know what? That's what I want to do when I grow up. Amazing, isn't it? So you discover God's purpose for your life by your desires, and then what flows natural? What flows natural? Another thought, good thought, is where do you get fruit? Where do you get fruit? Where do you get fruit? What flows natural? What are your desires? Here's another one. Here's another thought on discovering God's purpose for your life. And that's why we're here. And our growth track class, which is packed out over there this morning, I went by and saw them. We help you find your purpose in that small group. Is that another way is, what do people remark about you? When people talk about you, what are the strengths? What are the attributes? What are the characteristics that they talk about you? Daniel, my son, who's the executive pastor of our church now. Daniel, you know, he writes songs, and he loves to write songs. And we're believing that we're going to write songs that's going to come out of Church on the Rock and going to touch the nation. But Daniel, when he was a little boy, wrote stories. It came natural. He wrote stories. He would write stories. He would tell stories at Christmas and Thanksgiving when he was a little boy and all the family would get together. He would tell stories. I'm talking about grade school. He'd tell stories and he'd captivate everybody. It was a natural thing for him. And then he's written songs for groups and other musicians all over the nation. It's a natural bent. It comes natural. You discover God's purpose for your life by what flows, where do you get fruit, what do others remark about you, what are your desires? Those are some really easy ways to discover God's purpose for your life. Now, let me tell you why it's important. You know, Kim and I, we were married in 1973 when bell bottoms were in. And we were married in 1973, and you know, at that time, you know, I'm a baby boomer of that generation, and for us, it was stuff, it was sex, it was salary, it was status. I mean, you know, we were in it for all the things that the world could provide for. We were success-oriented, the baby boomer generation. And so, you know, Kim and I, we got married, and we got married in 73. In 1974, I bought a brand new Corvette. May not mean a whole lot to you, but I'm a car guy, and we would identify ourselves with a car that we drove. And so in 1974, we've been married 1 year. I got the car of my dreams. I got a brand new red leather saddle tan interior, a brand new Corvette. I'm a motorcycle guy. So in 1974, I bought a brand new Kawasaki KZ900, fastest street bike in America at that time, burgundy gold trim, beautiful bike, fast. I bought a motorcycle. Now, I remember, see, in my baby boomer generation, those were accolades, those were signs, those were tokens you were a success, that you had it. So I had a beautiful wife, we're married, I got the sex thing, okay? I got the salary thing because, you know, I'm working at a job, I'm in management level, I'm a manager of the store that I'm working in, I'm getting a monthly bonus, they've offered me stock. We've only been married 1 year and a half, so I got the car, I got the motorcycle, I got the beautiful wife, I got the salary, so I got the stuff, I got the sex, I got the salary, I got the status. We're going to build a brand new house. We've been married a year and a half. We're going to buy acreage out in the country, 1974, and we're going to build a brand new house. But you know what? In 1975, after 2 years of marriage, she couldn't stand me, and I couldn't stand her. And we were throwing stuff at each other. We were making holes in the wall, and I don't look so holy now. And, you know, we were just, you know, we were beside ourselves. We loved each other. We couldn't just live with each other. You know what I'm saying? So after 2 years, we were unhappy. We were unsatisfied. We had what we thought would bring us satisfaction. We had what we thought would bring us, you know, contentment, achievement, fulfillment, but it didn't. I'll never forget, it was on October 1975, and Kim stayed in bed, and I got out of bed, and I said, you know, God, this isn't enough. God, what I thought was my purpose in life, what I thought would bring me fulfillment, it hasn't. And God, you know, I can't live like this anymore. I can't live in the strife, the anger, the emptiness, the void. And so I went to church, a little Assembly of God church, Pentecostal church. My father was a deacon. My mother was Sunday school superintendent. It was a small church of just a few hundred people. And I grew up in that church. I got saved in that church, spirit filled in that church, water baptized in that church, married in that church. They all knew me, but I didn't care. I was desperate to fill that void, to find fulfillment, to find the reason why God put me on this earth. You see, you and I want to be like Esther in the Bible when she said, I've come to the king's court for such a time as this. Mark Twain said, the two most important days of your life is the day that you're born, and secondly, the day you find out why you were born. I want to add three to Mark Twain. I think it's the day we were born. Number two, the day we were born again. And number three, that we find out why I am here. Why I am. I want to emphasize the word here. God has you here for a reason. God's had Church on the Rock here for 34 years for a reason. You know, I can remember, seriously, about 36 years ago, my father, who's in heaven, was still alive, and we came as a family. We lived in another state. We came as a family to visit St. Louis and see the arch. Do y'all remember when the McDonald's boat was down on the river and all that stuff down there, you know? So we came to visit, and if I'm lying, I'm frying. I've told people the story. This is 36 years ago, and we're as a family, and we're driving through St. Peter's. If I'm lying, God, fry me before all your people right now. We're in St. Peter's on 70, and right there in St. Peter's, I looked at my dad and I said, I would never come to this city. I told my father that. I said, I would never come to St. Louis. I would never come to this community. I'm called to California. I'm called to the West. I'm called to be out there. I would never come here. Guess where I've been for 34 years? And I love it. I don't want to live in California. I'm not called to California. I'm called to St. Louis. Amen. So let me show you why it's so important. And that morning, I went to the altar and I said, God, I commit my life to you. Now, this is huge. Listen up very carefully. This is spectacular. How to know God's purpose for your life. You see, once you make the decision to turn your life over to God, and commit your life to Him and trust Him with your future, listen very carefully. The most important thing is you just keep moving in the right direction. It's not so much the decisions, the daily decisions. Once you make the most important decision, God, I want to know your purpose for my life. God, I give you my life. And you know what? Once you make that, then just stay headed in the right direction. You know what I mean by that, right? You know, we can try to get veer off and maybe we'll make a wrong decision. But because we've committed our future to God, God will make sure you get back on track. The key is get moving in the right direction. Oh, Robert said, you can't steer a parked car. You understand that revelation? You got to get moving. And the most important thing, don't forget it, is spectacular, is that you and I, if we want to discover God's purpose for our life, just stay headed in the right direction, and God will make sure if you start to get off track, He'll put you back on track. Can somebody give the Lord a big praise right now? Come on, give the Lord a big praise. So let me give you some reasons why you need to discover your purpose, God's purpose for your life. And that's why we exist as a church. And that's what we're doing here every weekend, every Wednesday night in our small group and our growth track going on right now. Number one, knowing God's purpose for your life, number one, here it is, will sustain you. It will sustain you. It'll give you the stamina to finish strong. It will sustain you because, folks, our emotions some days our feelings are up and down, aren't they? Sometimes our emotions, you know, are like roller coasters depending on what season we're in, what we're struggling with, what we're wrestling with, what we're going through. There are some days I get up and I don't feel married. Kim reminds me that I'm married. There are some days I don't feel like I'm saved, but the Holy Spirit reminds me I'm a child of the Most High God. What am I telling you? We can't live by our emotions. We can't live by our feelings. They aren't the right fuel to get you to your destiny. So you have to have a divine purpose. You have to know God's purpose for your life. And what it'll do, it'll sustain you. It'll be your driving force. What drives you today? Well, Pastor, when other people affirm me, it drives me. It encourages me. That's good, but it's not enough. Pastor, when I just feel good, that drives me. When I feel like doing it, that drives me. Well, what happens when you don't feel like doing it? You don't have your drive any longer. So your drive, your why, has to come from God's purpose for your life. It will sustain you in the dark days. I have young pastors, young ministers. We had some last night from Canada, all the way from Canada, visiting our service last night. I'll have young pastors ask me, you know, Pastor, how have you stayed for 3.5 decades, 3.5 decades in the same city with the same people in the same environment with all the fads and all the trends and all the ups and downs of the church, the body of Christ? Pastor, how have you held your course? How have you stayed on track? How have you not quit? What keeps you going? And I always tell them that what sustains me is the call. What sustains me is God's purpose for my life. So number one, if you're a note taker, you need to know God's purpose because it will sustain you. Number two, it will satisfy you. You know, you and I won't be like Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. It will satisfy you when other things won't satisfy you. Number three, when you discover God's purpose for your life, you will serve others with it. The Bible says that David served his own generation, fulfilling God's purpose for his life. When you and I are walking in our purpose that God has for us, not only will it bless you, but it will bless those around you. So let's review. Number one, what will it do knowing God's purpose for your life? It will sustain you. Number two, it will satisfy you. Number three, it will serve others. And number four, it will stir you up. It will stir you up. It will keep you motivated. When you know God's purpose for your life, it'll keep you, it's the drive, it's the why, it's the motivation. It'll stir you up. Honestly, seriously, got up this morning, 5:30, Kim kicked me out. I got out of bed. And I say that because, you know, on those cold mornings like this when you're under the quilts, you know, Kim has about 3 quilts, you know, and I feel like a bug in a rug. And it was so nice and warm there this morning, you know, praise God. But once I got up, boy, I was excited when I was thinking about you. I'm more excited than 34 years ago. I'm serious. I got excited because I get to come here today, and my purpose is to help you discover your purpose. I got so excited. I got up, made my cup of coffee, and had my cup of coffee, and got my Bible app, and turned on the Bible app, put it in my back pocket, got my dog, and we went for a walk for an hour before we ever left the house to come and be here at 7 o'clock. And so why would I do that? Why would I do that? I'm 64 years young. Why would I do that? Why the drive? Because I know my purpose. And my purpose is to come here today and to help you discover your purpose that God has for your life. Amen. You know, we have a testimony right here of someone who's on our dream team, volunteers. And here's what they said. She said, I've been taking care of the members of my family until they no longer needed me. I've been taking care, she said, of my family until they no longer needed me. Then I felt like I had no purpose. She said, then I started coming to Church on the Rock. I started coming to Church on the Rock. I felt like I had no purpose. Why do we exist? Why do you and I give to this ministry, serve this ministry, love this ministry, support this ministry to other people? Because this ministry helps people discover God's purpose for their life. She said that she started coming to Church on the Rock and she heard the pastor talk about purpose. She took a hard look at her life. And that's what I'm challenging you to do today. If you feel like giving up, if you're disappointed, if you feel dejected, rejected, a throwaway, if you feel like, you know, you have no future, I just challenge you to take a hard look at your life today and realize that no matter what you have been, what's going on in your life, I want you to begin to see that God has a future for you. Amen. And a person for you to become. So she said that she took a hard look and she now has discovered her purpose in life. Since she was a math professor and a cancer survivor, she started a foundation to help children affected by cancer with educational needs in their life. She's helping other people discover their purpose. Can somebody give the Lord a good thank you? Isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful. Now, I want you to look at Revelation chapter 1. You thought I forgot, but I didn't. Revelation 1, verse 8. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. But I want you to focus on this thought. He said, I am the one which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Notice the three dimensions. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the God that is. He's the God of is. He's the God of was, and he's the God of things that shall be. Now, I want you to apply that to your life. He's the God that knows what you were, knows what you is, and knows what you could become if you'll follow him. In spite of what we was, and we all have skeletons in our closet, we all have made mistakes, we've all made poor choices, we've all done things we're ashamed of, but the good news is that God has a purpose for our life in spite of what we was. Now, all you educators, please forgive me. I understand my English kind of stinks right now. But he's the God of our was. He's the God of our is. Pastor, I just feel like nobody loves me today. No one's affirming me. No one's encouraged me. No one believes in me. Well, God does. And I do. And we do. He's the God of how you and I was, how we is. But also, he's the God who wants to show us what could come to pass in our life. It's called potential. Now, I'll never know that potential until I give my life to God. I'll never know the purpose God has for me until I turn my life over to the God of the purpose. John chapter 1, verse 12, just look on the overheads with me. John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them, to many as received him, to them, to who? Those who received Christ, to them he gave them what? Power to become. Power to become. Power to become. To those who received him, Jesus, not religion, but Jesus as Lord and Master, to them he gave them power to become, power to live like, power to act like, power to enjoy, power to be a child of the Most High God. Say it with me. I am a child of God. Now you see, everybody on the planet are not children of God. Everybody on the planet are not God's children. Only those who've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. And to those who have, He has a purpose for their life. And He gives us power, puts it on the inside, so we can become who He's called us to become. Children of the Most High God. Sons and daughters. King's kids, if you will. Priests and kings, if you will. Now, look with me, if you would, in John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. John 1, verse 16 and verse 17. For out of His fullness, Jesus, abundance, we've all received. All had a share. We're all supplied with what? One grace. When we received Him, He gave them power to fulfill His purpose for their life. But on top of that, He says that we've all been supplied the supply of the Spirit with grace after grace and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Just when you think you can't take any more grace, He gives you more grace. Just when you think God's been so good, favor, He has another favor. Just when He blessed you with a blessing this week, He's got something better, another blessing. Just when He gave you a gift, He's got another gift to heap upon you. Now, that's the life, that's the purpose God has for your life. When we discover it and develop it and walk it out, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. God's purpose for your life, that's what it looks like. No, I was taught if I gave my life to God, God would call me somewhere I didn't want to go. God would make me be somebody I didn't want to be. God would force me, you know, to be some religious person like I grew up with. All the things you can't do, can't have, can't be. I was taught all the law, all the regulations, all the rituals. Pastor, that's what I was taught, that if I turned my life over to God, I'd miss out on everything. Listen, if we don't turn our life over to God, we'll never go where we could go with Him. If we don't have Him, there'll be places we'll miss, people we'll miss, there'll be achievements we miss that we could only see, do, and have through knowing Him. Amen. So it goes on to say, now this is what the purpose of God looks like right here. It's called abundant life. It's called a life that's favored with blessing. It goes on to say in verse 17, for while the law was given through Moses, grace, undeserved favor, and spiritual blessing, and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is a spectacular, spectacular verse. Now, what it's saying here, look, it says the law came through Moses, but now we have a better covenant. Can we agree, church? Better promises, better covenant, New Testament. He said the law came through Moses, but now look at the other end. He said, but when Christ came, He brought with Him truth and grace. When Christ came, He brought truth and grace. So when you and I receive Christ, the hope of glory, on the inside of us, what do we get? Truth and grace. So we're going to build our life, we're going to discover, and we're going to develop God's purpose for our life with truth. What is truth? It's the Bible. You'll know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. He said, my word, in John 17, my word, scriptures are the truth. So when Jesus came into your life, He gave you power, and He gave you the availability to get in His word and let His word, the truth, get in you. Then not only that, but He gave you grace. Everyone say grace. Now, there are actually books. I took a class in college called Bible Phrases. There are actually Bible dictionary called Bible Phrases, and they give you the true meaning of a Bible phrase. And here for this phrase, for the grace of God, it actually means defined as a divine influence on your heart. Divine influence on your heart. So when Christ came into our life, He gave us power what? To walk out this purpose he has for us, thus having a life full of blessing after blessing, favor after favor, gift after gift, significance and meaning, fruitfulness, achievement, all the above. And then he says that with he came into our life, he gave us the word of God. We have the word of God, and then also we have the grace of God. And through God's word and reading it, we change. But through a divine influence, where? On your heart, you will change. Now, what's the mechanics of that? Psalm 37, and let's look at it if we could on the overheads. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself. What does that mean? Fall in love with God. Fall in love with God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the what? So what is he doing? There's a divine, when you and I came to Christ, and if we'll yield our heart to him, then the Holy Spirit and the grace of God begins to work on our heart. What's in your heart? Desires. What are your desires? The things that drive you. What are the things that drive you? Purposes. So what happens in the process? Everyone say process. What happens in the process is we have a divine influence working on our heart, exchanging old purpose for new purpose, old desires for new desires, old likes for new likes. Come on, somebody. Old character for new character. So day by day, we're in the process. Folks, just focus on the process. Just focus on the process. Just work the process. Just work the mechanics. So what happens is God puts his drive, his purpose, his desire in your heart. He's working on your heart. He's trying to change your heart. He's trying to change your likes. You know, in 1974, when Kim and I, we were married a year, I didn't want to go to church. In 2017, you can't keep me away from church. In 1973, I didn't read the Bible. In 2017, you can't keep me away from the Bible. Did y'all see what I'm talking about? It changes. That's where he works. He works on your heart, because what's in your heart and in your hand will take you to your destiny. What's in your heart and in your hand will take you to your destiny. When he called Moses, he said, "What do you got?" "I got a rod." It's what's in your hand and in your heart. That's your drive, your motivation, your purpose. That's the direction of your life. Am I helping anybody today? All right. So here we see this. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. This is spectacular. Listen to this. This is spectacular. How to discover God's purpose for your life. Roll your works, that means your life, your career, your cash, your car, your dog, your cat, your hamster, your family. Give it all to God. Roll your works upon the Lord. This is what I did in 1975 when I was unfulfilled. And trust them holy to him, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Spectacular. What's going to happen? Phenomenal. What's going to happen? How do I know God's purpose for my life? What's going to happen? He will begin to work on your thought life. He'll begin to work on your desires. And it says, and what will happen is he'll cause your thoughts, to become agreeable to his will or purpose for your life. Oh my goodness. He'll cause your thoughts, because he's working on your heart, grace and truth, the grace of God there in that scripture. When Jesus comes into your life, he begins to influence your heart, influence your decisions, your likes, and your dislikes. So he says that you cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. So that means if I'm in the right direction, I may make the wrong decision, start to go off course, but if I'm in the right direction, God will put me back on course. Amen. So as I'm doing that, what's going to happen in the process of the mechanics of discovering God's purpose for my life, he'll begin to change the way I think. Change the way I think. Here's a golden nugget. When you think bigger or think better, you begin to think bigger. When you start thinking better, you'll think bigger. When you think better, you'll think bigger. He said, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways." Come on, somebody. So notice he says that if I'll trust God with my future, if I'll just stay following after him, if I'll just stay in the process, that God will cause my thoughts, my desires, to agree with his purpose for my life. Does that make sense? Now, we're not talking about a fleeting desire, a desire that comes and goes. A team is coming out right now. Years ago, out in Wentzville, there was a bass boat sitting in a parking lot. And there was a bass boat sitting there, and I had, was looking for a bass boat. You know, the kids were small to go fishing, and I went by there, and there was this bass boat sitting there in this parking lot for sale. And I went over and looked at it, and and there was a shop there. And I went inside there, and the guy who owned the bass boat worked in that shop. So I went in there, and I started negotiating with him. I said, you know what? I've been wanting a bass boat. Yeah? Yeah, you know, my two boys are young. We want to go fishing, get a bass boat, go to Mark Twain, go to Branson, this, that, and other, go fishing. I said, how much you want for that boat? He told me. I said, oh, man, that's awesome. Okay, we'll think about it. Okay. Went and got back in the truck. Kim was in there. Now I got to convince my wife. Okay. Kim, you know, if we had that bass boat, we'd spend more family time. We'd go fishing together. Yeah. We do all this stuff together. I mean, look at that bass boat. He wants this. Kim, we can afford it. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's a Ranger bass boat. You fishermen know what I'm talking about. I said, you know, I just love that. And Kim said, well, we're going to pray about it. Okay. But boy, I tell you, that's God's will, Kim, for us to get that bass boat. I know it's the will of God. I've heard God. So we prayed over it. And the next morning, you know what? I didn't have quite a desire for that bass boat. Second day, you know, we still praying about it, you know, and guess what? That desire wasn't as strong. That thought wasn't as strong. That desire wasn't as strong. He leads you with your desires and your thoughts. It wasn't as strong. Third day, the guy called me. Hey, you made a decision? I said, no, not yet. He knocked the price down. But guess what? That third day, I looked at that bass boat and a yuck on the inside. What is that? You know, thoughts, desires, they weren't the same. So when your thought remains the same, it keeps coming up, you can't get rid of it, you can't run from it. When your desires get stronger and hotter over a period of weeks and months, that's God's purpose for your life. Now, let me give you the mechanics real quick, can I? I know I've gone over, but I love you and it's holiday weekend. I don't want to stuff you, I want to buffet your body, okay? Okay, so on the screen, the guys are going to give us the mechanics of how it worked in my life. And number one, you know, God begins to work on your heart and you get a hunger for God's word. A hunger for God's word. Think better, think bigger. A hunger for God's word. What do words do? They create images, don't they? Pumpkin pie, you know, sweet potato pie, pumpkin pie, apple pie, Ted Drew's, Emo's Pizza. What am I doing? I'm painting pictures, okay? So, here's the process you stay in to discover God's purpose for your life. You get in the Word. Number two, what does it do? Allow the Holy Spirit to paint a picture and a vision of what your life could be on the inside. Because you're in the Word, and the Word creates images, so now you're beginning to get a picture of not what you was, not what you is, but what you could be. And this is the process. You just stay in the process. Then number three, what happened in my life, number three, is I began to believe and speak out daily, God has a destiny and a purpose for my life. That's important because faith is released with your mouth. You know, let's just say it right now. I believe God has a purpose for my life. See, the longer you say that, the more you say that, you're releasing your faith, you're creating an environment for God's purpose to manifest in your life. Okay? Then number four, what I did in my life is you'll think better, you will think bigger. All of a sudden, my thoughts changed. My desires changed. I didn't want to be with the old crowd, do the old things. Now my thoughts were changing. My desires were changing. Now remember, God's working on your heart with a divine influence. God's working on your heart with the Word of God. God wants to take you to a favorable life, a life heaped with blessing after blessing, favor after favor, and gift heaped upon gift, right? A meaningful life, a life that makes a difference because you've discovered your purpose. Next, number five, is you'll begin to walk it out with corresponding actions, God's purpose for your life. You begin to act like it's so when it ain't so, so it can begin to be so. Stop talking confusion and start talking clarity. Start declaring God's word, God's purposes and plan. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before you were in your mother's womb, I deposited a purpose in your life. Amen, church?